From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. The lame duck session of Congress has ended, a House clerk reading the adjournment notice.
The House of Representatives has completed its business of the session and is ready to adjourn.
But before lawmakers left town, they completed work on a number of measures, including a bill to provide up to $4.2 billion in new assistance for victims of the September 11th attacks and first responders who've had health problems after working in the rubble at Ground Zero. Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid.
Just as they helped us recover from 9/11, we'll stand by them and help them recover from the distress, illnesses, and maladies as a result of their being heroes for us.
The amount of assistance was scaled back a bit, but an attorney for the September 11th responders say they're ecstatic that the measure was passed. The Senate also ratified a new strategic arms treaty with Russia. Republicans broke ranks with their two top leaders, 13 of them, and voted for ratification. That dismayed GOP Senator John Kyle of Arizona, who had pushed to postpone a vote on the treaty until next year.
Taking a lame duck session to jam so many things through, frequently without an opportunity to provide amendments, or when there are amendments, to simply have them all shot down without, I believe, adequate consideration.
But President Obama praised the bipartisan vote for the arms treaty. The president is also calling this lame duck session of Congress the most productive in decades. NPR's Scott Horsley reports the president achieved a number of legislative goals that seemed unlikely just a few weeks ago.
The tax cut package, an arms control treaty, repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and funding for 9/11 responders. Not a bad couple of weeks. In a news conference shortly before leaving town, Mr. Obama said Democrats and Republicans have proven they're not doomed to legislative gridlock.
We've shown in the wake of the November elections that we have the capacity not only to make progress, but to make progress together.
Mr. Obama conceded the new year will bring new challenges. He'll also be faced with a new and more Republican Congress. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
The president arrived a couple of hours ago in Hawaii aboard Air Force One. He'll spend a 10-day vacation there with his family. Southern California is finally getting a break today from the heavy rains that have been drenching parts of the state for a week. But Stuart Cito with the National Weather Service says the saturated ground still poses problems.
There's still a lot of concerns about mudslides, and even after the rains end, the mudslides can happen up to a week afterwards.
Mud and floodwaters have already damaged scores of homes in California, including Lorraine Knight's home in Highland, California.
Water and the mud came in with no warning, and it just destroyed. It came into our house. Our cars are gone. Our house is gone. Everything's gone.
But Knight told KNBC-TV she's thankful her family survived the ordeal. This is NPR News from Washington. Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is in Turkey today for economic talks, along with his new acting foreign minister. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports the leaders of Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan are also attending.
The focus of the meeting is on Eurasian and Mideast economic cooperation. The talks came roughly a month before the next round of nuclear talks are due to be held here between Iran and six world powers. Talks earlier this month in Geneva produced no breakthroughs. Turkey is eager to play a broker's role in the Iranian nuclear dispute. Although after its previous efforts were rebuffed by Washington, Turkish officials are careful to say they will be hosting next month's talks, but not participating in them. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Istanbul.
A court in Australia has found three men guilty of plotting a militant suicide attack on an army base there. The BBC's Steve Marshall reports prosecutors say the three, who are Australian citizens of Lebanese or Somali origin, had planned to send a group of armed men to attack an army barracks.
Hundreds of intercepted telephone calls, many translated from Arabic or Somali, formed the basis of the prosecution's case. The Australian Federal Police taped the men's phones for 6 months leading up to their arrests in August last year. Overwhelmingly apparent throughout the three-month trial was the group's strong opposition to Australia's involvement in the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan.
The BBC's Steve Marshall in Sydney. A car careened onto the front lawn of former President George W. Bush's home in a suburb of Dallas, sending Secret Service agents scrambling. Mr. Bush and his wife were there at the time, but they weren't injured, and there was no damage to their home. Police say the driver of the car was released after questioning. He had been visiting one of Mr. Bush's neighbors. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News, in Washington.
Support for